Good evening. It's been a long time since I've stood before a group, family and friends, visitors. That's been a real challenge for me because due to the surgeries I've had on my right hand, and I'm right-handed, I have to try to type everything I'm going to do out. And plus I have the Parkinson's, and as you can see, I'm shaking because I'm nervous. I started shaking when pulled into the driveway out there. But we'll make it through it. I have titled this lesson, Attitude. A little bit different way of looking at attitudes. The definition of attitude that I'm using is the state of mind towards something. State of mind towards something. We're going to look at three groups: attitudes of Christians toward the world, and though that involves those who have never obeyed the gospel. The second one's attitude of Christians towards sinners. That's looking at those who once observed the gospel but have left the faith. And number three, attitude of Christians toward Christ. Attitude of Christians toward the world is not to conform to the world. Now, I've got almost all the scriptures that I'm going to use on the PowerPoint. But feel free to look them up and write them down, or whatever's comfortable with you. And I use my King James Version for this. So the attitude of Christians toward the world is not to conform to the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not to conform to the world. We're to follow Christ. Becoming a living sacrifice means to be committed wholeheartedly. Service to God is much more than external ceremony or some self-pleasing activity, which we see a lot of today. To present one's body as a living sacrifice means that our lives are consecrated to the service of God, and no longer will we allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. Love not the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's a promise. When this time's over with, the world passes away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abide it forever. That's a promise we can take to the bank. But we got to live a righteous life in order to get that. Continuing not to love the world, the tragic effects that the love of the world would produce: a turning away from the Lord's work and other believers, alienation from God, James 4:4, which was read in our hearing. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Deception by false teachers, 1 John 4:1. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And that's happening today. You've got people who are teaching scripture, but they're doing it strictly for money's sake. I know there's one commercial on TV that I saw that said that say this prayer, and he repeats the prayer, and he says, after you say this prayer, contact this number. Guess what they want? I hadn't called that number. The attitude of Christians toward the world is not to be a friend of the world. James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We can't go both ways. We got to present ourselves in our bodies as a living sacrifice and follow God's word if we want to get to heaven. No man can serve two masters, which was read in our hearing. They that practice the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:19-21. We all are very familiar with these verses. Just listen to these words here and the things that are comprising, like adultery and fornication. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then, you know, the list is not complete. There are others. And it says, and the such like. So we need to evaluate ourselves. Christians toward the world, not to be entangled with the world. 2 Timothy 2:3-5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strives for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. There's two definitions of the word entanglement and masteries. Christians toward the world not to be polluted with the world. Jude 21-23, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, which are doubters, have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So the word keep is translated guard. So guard yourselves in the love of God. State of mind is something that's all of the first group that I have. We're now going to look at the second group, the attitude of Christians towards sinners. Those who have once obeyed the gospel but have left the faith. And in this day and time, that's easy to do. We know we've got two family members now that fall into this category. The attitude of Christians towards sinners, they must seek their salvation. 1 Corinthians 9:22-23, Paul speaking, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means gain some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. We just recently studied that in Corinthians. We must pray for their soul. Romans 9:1-3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness or burden and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the brethren, my kinsman according to the flesh. Continue the thought of we need to pray for their soul. Paul's grief for the unbelieving Jews in verse 3 of Romans 9 is so intense that he states his own willingness to be cut off from Christ if this would make possible the saving of his fleshly countrymen. And that comes from the book of Robert Hartwright. Attitude of Christians toward sinners is we must teach sinners. Acts 17:18-31. Paul is in Athens at Mars Hill, is proclaiming who the altar to the unknown God is. Paul states that the Athenians were ignorantly worshiping this God. He goes on to describe who this God is. So we're going to look at Acts 17:18-31. It's kind of lengthy, but tells the whole story related to this. So Acts 17:18-31. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seeketh to be a scatter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, which Areopagus is translated Mars Hill, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and that hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has been given assurance unto all men, and that has raised him from the dead. So we must teach all sinners what's the right and correct way. The attitude of Christians towards sinners, we must rebuke them. In Titus 1:10-13, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, idle gluttons. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith." We must persuade those sinners. 2 Corinthians 5:11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persecute men, but we have made manifest unto you, unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Paul knew that it what it is to fear the Lord. Therefore, he persuaded men to prepare themselves for that day. We should do the same. We should prepare ourselves for that day. We don't know when that day is. So we've talked about the group attitude of Christians toward the world, attitude of Christians toward sinners. Now we're going to talk about the attitude of Christians toward Christ. Attitude of Christians toward Christ, Christians must confess. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And just as a note, repentance and baptism are also required in Acts 2:38, which tells us to repent and be baptized. The attitude of Christians toward Christ is we must obey. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 4:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. Attitude of Christians toward Christ must follow after Christ. Matthew 16:24-26, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We have to ask ourselves this question every day. Are we given, is our soul in jeopardy of going to hell? Attitude of Christians toward Christ must imitate Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Now, just going to give you a quick summary of these, they, as they're grouped into the groups that I've set up. The attitude of Christians toward the world, not to conform to the world, not to love the world, not to be a friend of the world, not to be entangled with the world, not to be polluted with the world. That was group one. Group two, must seek the salvation of the sinner, must pray for the soul of the sinner, must teach the sinner, must rebuke the sinner, must persuade the sinner. And in group three, Christians must confess their sins. Christians must obey God and keep his commandments. Christians must obey Christ and follow after him. Christians must imitate Christ. I know I covered a lot of material, but it's almost 25 till, it's kind of early. I could go back and reread all these again, fill up the time, but I'm not going to do that. Hopefully, having the scripture up there with the thought and the group categories that I put them in, we can still remember most of that is we all know by heart. I could have stopped at any time and said, finish out that scripture, and all of you can do that. So if you're a sinner and you need to make something right or be baptized, the water's ready. If you're practicing some sin and it's public in nature, then as we stand and sing this song, feel free to come forward.